The Best in Class podcast is back today with a look at the NFC West draft. It's an excellent episode. You want to dive in. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, hosted by JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan. And a lot of good nuggets in here. You don't want to miss it, draft fans. Catch up on all your Best in Class listening at Apple Podcasts. Great place to subscribe. And of course, at JoeBucksFan.com. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. We are doing NFC West podcast today. Very excited to be back with you. We got a lot of stuff to review, but first, let's pay some bills. Are you worried about paying too much for a new vehicle? Don't worry. Drive Curry. With our summer sales event, Bill Curry Ford will beat any advertised price by $100. Just bring the ad in the showroom and show it to our staff, and yes, it is that easy, and we will sell you a vehicle. Also, are you trying to find time to schedule your vehicle for service? Don't worry, service at Curry. With our no-charge pickup and delivery and no-charge mobile vans, we can perform service from your house or your work. And if you want to visit the store, which I definitely recommend, we have over 100 loaner vehicles available. Just visit BillCurryFord.com and schedule now. Now, are you ready for the best 30 minutes in football? Because let's talk NFC West, starting with the Arizona Cardinals. All right, in the first round, pick number 4, they drafted Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State, one of my absolute favorite players in the draft. I think he's going to be an instant stud for Kyle Murray. I think he's going to have a legitimate target since DeAndre Hopkins. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to put up some amazing numbers this year as long as he stays healthy. I think he's going to be a primary target. And he is a great route runner and a guy that catches the ball with extremely great hands. He's a red zone target. He is not a yards after catch guy. So he wasn't very good in college at that. But then when you go back and look, he caught a lot of balls in the end zone, right? Because he's wide open. So Marvin Harrison Jr. to me is a no-brainer at 4. I mean, if you look at the wide receivers that came into this league this year, it's just so phenomenal. We've already talked about Malik Nabers and Ndunze, and now we're talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. What a draft, right, for wide receivers and quarterbacks. They had a second first-round draft pick, pick number 27. They went for edge Darius Robinson out of Missouri. Now, here's a very interesting player. The Bucks were, you know, rumored to be very interested in Darius Robinson. They actually had a tryout with him and spent some personal visit with him. The reason why Todd Bowles was so interested in Robinson is not the fact that he's a pass rusher, is the fact that he plays tackle and he can play end. So he can play every position on the defensive line. We already experienced that with Logan Hall, where he was like a tweener. He was a little too slow to play on the edge and a little too small to play on the inside, and they're still trying to figure that out. The difference between Logan Hall and Darius Robinson is Darius Robinson has great size and speed. There's nothing you really have to do to mold his body or change him. I think Darius Robinson's going to be an instant impact defensive edge for the Arizona Cardinals. So their 1-2 picks, their first two picks in the first round, instant starters. I love both of them. Marvin Harrison obviously has a chance to be a generational star. At corner, Max Melton out of Rutgers. It's so odd that this is another guy that was linked to the Bucs because he's incredible in zone, which is what Todd Bowles played a lot in last year, which is probably the reason why we traded Carlton Davis. But Max Melton is a very, very underrated corner. They've got him at pick 43 in the second round. In my opinion, he's one of the best corners in the draft because he's very versatile, great hands, very intelligent player, and he's a terrific tackler. And I think Rutgers defensively is a very well-coached team. I don't think anybody would argue that. And it's on the Bill Belichick tree, right? So defensive backs at Rutgers, right? So a lot of New England Patriots associations with that coaching staff. So the first three picks, Harrison, Robinson, and Melton. Absolutely fantastic. And the draft just continues for Arizona. It's like a college all-star team for Arizona. Their fourth pick in the third round, 66 overall, Trey Benson out of Florida State. I don't have to talk to Joe Bucks fan listeners, best-in-class listeners about Trey Benson. We all know what he can do. He's a absolute stud running back who can break long runs for touchdowns, has terrific hands. He was my number one running back in this draft. And they got him in the third round, pick 66. Trey Benson is an instant impact player. First four picks, Marvin Harrison starter, Robinson starter, Melton starter. Trey Benson is going to split carries because they obviously just re-signed their running back. But here's the thing, he gets hurt constantly. I think Trey Benson has a huge amount of carries in this game. In the third round, they had another pick, pick 71. Offensive tackle Isaiah Adams out of Illinois is going to compete for a starting position. big, strong guy, had a lot of starts at Illinois. I think he's going to be a guard. I have him in my grades as a guard. But he gave up 9 sacks from 518 passing blocks in 2013, sacks in 992 passing blocks over the last 2 seasons. So, you know, he's a work in progress. But let's just see if he stands up better at guard than he does at tackle. One of my favorite tight ends in the draft went, again, third round for Arizona, pick 82, Tip Rittman out of Illinois. Rittman can do it all. Right. So I think that's pretty incredible, the value that they got in him. I think, let me see what I wrote down for him. He obviously is a strong pass blocker coming out of Illinois. He had only 24 targets, but he caught a very high percentage. What I love about him is his strength. He's already got an NFL body coming into the NFL, which is very difficult, obviously, for tight ends. And we experienced that with the Buccaneers. We've had some guys that had to get into the gym. Gentleman that we drafted last year out of Purdue, apparently he has not only slimmed down, but he's put on some really terrific muscle. Cade Otton is a guy that's been starring in spring, obviously changing his body as well. Tip Rittman's already a man coming in. I'm very excited for them. Another third round pick, cornerback Elijah Jones out of Boston College. Really like Jones a lot. You know, the cornerback class in this year, I told you, is one of the best I've ever seen. He was third best amongst QB cornerbacks in completion percentage. So the really great thing is he was at 90% coverage grade. If you like the coverage grade stuff from PFF, some people do, some people don't. But it is somewhat of a catalyst to say he's a very physical player. He's hands-on. He doesn't allow a lot of room for the wide receiver. Fourth-round draft pick safety, Taylor Demerson out of Texas Tech. Not a guy I have a lot of research on. I can give you a couple of stuff on him, but not to me. The safety class wasn't as impressive for me. The only thing that's really interesting about Demerson is that he had 10 interceptions, which is a lot of picks. That's probably why he's a ball hawk. In the fifth round, edge Xavier Thomas out of Clemson. Here's a guy that was a highly rooted recruit out of Clemson. I think that he gives them some really good experience. He had a ton of starts. He had a 6-year college career, racking up 153 quarterback pressures and 22 sacks. He had 43 pressures last year. I think that he immediately gets playing time on the defensive line. Their next pick 162 in the fifth round, offensive tackle Christian Jones out of Texas. There was a lot of rumors about Jones. He had 3,219 career snaps for Texas over the last 5 seasons. He was one of the highest graded tackles, similar to Jonah Williams, which I think is really interesting. And they also, Arizona had first pick Paris Harris Jr., which is another guy that adds depth. If you think about how many snaps Christian Jones had, you're getting, you know, like a Bill Parcells guy, where I want a guy that started 4 years at a top program. Now, here's a guy in the fifth round, pick 191. We didn't really talk about this guy, Tahan Palmer, out of UAB, small school guy. He played 2 seasons there. He dropped just 2.1% of his catchable passes, which is terrific, 8.8 yards after catch. Not much I know about that guy. He was not in my wide receiver breakdown, so he's more of a let's bring him to camp and see what he has. And then they drafted another corner out of Miami, Jaden Davis, in the 7th round. Very interesting guy. He was targeted 49 times in 2023, and he only allowed 28 receptions and 1 touchdown, and he had 5 forced incompletions, and he had 6 defensive stops. I don't think that he's going to push for any type of playing time, but he's a special teams player and he's going to be a project at the corner. So let's talk about Arizona's draft. They had a ton of picks, right? To me, it looks like a college all-star team, and I don't believe in grades. I can tell you that I believe in starters, in drafting starters. Whether you believe in the starter or not, I think it's really important that you pick players that are contributing snaps right away, right out of college. If you look at Arizona and what they did, I think their draft is extremely underrated. Harrison could be a future star at number 4. Darius Robinson's going to start for them. Max Melton's going to start for them. Trey Benson is going to be in the mix to steal carries. Isaiah Adams is a guy they're going to kick into guard. We'll see what happens there. Tip Rittman has a chance to split carries or split snaps. Elijah Jones, I think, has a chance to work into a corner, third corner, slot corners kind of deal. Their safety, Taylor Demerson, not super high on him, although he did have 10 interceptions. I don't really know much to think about him. Xavier Thomas out of Clemson, I think gets some playing time right away. Christian Jones, I think it's playing time, it's possible right away. I think that last 2 picks, Palmer and Davis, are developmental guys. But what a draft for Arizona. What a haul for Kyle Murray. If Kyle Murray's healthy, and you know, obviously Arizona had a very poor year last year, but the consensus was their new coaching staff is very good and that they played well and they were in a lot of games, even without Kyle Murray. So I'm going to go with great job, Arizona. I think Arizona had one of the best drafts in the entire 2024 because of how many starters they got. I think they have five possible starters out of their picks, which is sensational. And then some of their picks, like I told you, Harrison's one of my favorites. Robinson's one of my favorites. Melton was one of my favorites. Benson was one of my favorites. Tip Ripman was one of my favorites. I mean, my goodness, Arizona, great job. I got a clap for you. The next one is the Los Angeles Rams, right? So we're going to go back to Stafford at quarterback. I think he's coming back. But the Rams have drafted over the last five seasons, besides the Detroit Lions and the New York Jets, I don't know if anybody has drafted better than the Rams. And of course, the Kansas City Chiefs have done a terrific job, and they continue to win Super Bowls. But the Rams, man, first round pick, 19, Jared Verse out of Florida State at 19. Wow. I think he's a top 10 pick. I think he makes an instant impact for the Rams. Fisk out of Florida State was their second round pick, 39 defensive lineman. I think he's a little undersized, a little short armed guy, but I think he plays. I think he gets playing time as a rookie. And the third round pick, 83, running back Blake Corum out of Michigan, a guy that has a lot of carries, a lot of touchdowns, 27 touchdowns. This guy is the real deal. I mean, between Kyren Williams, who they got out of Notre Dame, who obviously is just a stud running back for them, who at the end of the year was just putting it on people. And then you add Blake Corum, where Blake doesn't have to share the whole load. He can give Williams a breather and work him into the offense, and he can catch the ball. What a pick. And the third-round pick, 99, safety Cameron Kitchens out of Miami. I think he's one of the best safeties in this class. I think he brings a ton of playmaking to the Rams. What a great pick. Pick number in the fifth round, 154, edge Brennan Jackson at Washington State. Not a huge fan. And if you go through some of his stats, he had 83 total pressures over two seasons. He did have 16 sacks over those two seasons, 8 sacks a year, basically. Athletically, he leaves a lot to be desired. But again, he has production in the fifth round. Picking an edge in the fifth round, what do you have to lose? I tell Jason Light this. I mean, what do you have to lose picking an edge in the fifth round? Absolutely nothing. An interior defensive lineman, Tyler Davis out of Clemson in the sixth round. You're just getting a well-coached player, high pedigree, great size, can stop the run. Another sixth-round pick, kicker Joshua Carty out of Stanford. I'm not talking about a kicker. Another sixth-round pick, wide receiver Jordan Winnington out of Texas. Winnington was one of the favorite players of several pundits. He had 27 missed tackles after catch in 2023. He ranked third amongst that time. The thing about Winnington is you watch a lot of Texas ball, and he just made play after play after play. And you had Elvers throwing to him, you know, which is probably going to be a top two pick, top three pick, according to those guys. I have a lot more to see from him. But Winnington made a lot of plays. A six-round wide receiver, 213? My goodness, this guy makes the team. Center Bo Lemore out of Arkansas, I don't know how you can go wrong with him in the sixth round. I think he can play guard and he can play center. In the seventh round, they had an interior offensive lineman, Levingston KT out of Kansas State. I think he's just a big guy. They're going to move inside, obviously, to guard. Let's see what he does there. He did have 430 pass blocking snaps at left tackle. But, you know, with his frame, his size, his arms, his movement, the way he can move his feet, he's not going to be a tackle. He's going to be a guard. So they just got a little depth in the seventh round. But recapping, Jared Verse, star player in the first round. Fisk is going to get playing time right away on the interior line. Blake Corum is just a wonderful pickup in the third round, pick 83. He's a star player. I just think it's crazy how people aren't valuing running backs. Jahmyr Gibbs, I told everybody last year, and Joe Bucks fan guys gave me the hardest time because I had Jahmyr Gibbs going at 19 to the Bucks, and I'm like, and they're like, don't draft a running back in the first round. Well, you know what? You draft a running back in the first round if he wins games. And if I remember correctly, the Bucks were playing the Detroit Lions in the second round of the playoffs, and Jahmyr Gibbs single-handedly beat the Buccaneers in that game. So I believe he broke a 32-yard touchdown run that sealed the game for the Detroit Lions. So don't talk to me about star players and about impact players, because no one can hold a candle talking to me about these players. It's just not going to happen, right? If I'm looking at a player and I'm telling you, Jahmyr Gibbs is a star player, There was something about him he just has. Quarterback, same thing. I have a knack for these things. I'm telling you, it's crazy. This is another guy. This guy, Blake Corum, something that McVay sees. He sees the same thing I'm seeing. He's going to be a star. Cameron Kitchens, safety, I think is going to get some playing time. Brendan Jackson at Washington State, not a big fan. Tyler Davis, interior defensive lineman at Clemson, is a solid player. I'm not talking about a kicker. Winnington out of Texas was a guy that just made play after play. If you watch the Texas game, so in the sixth round, he was a steal. Bo Limmer's a backup center, backup guard, and an interior offensive lineman. They're going to move him to guard as KT Levinson out of Kansas State. So, again, the Rams know how to draft and how to stay relevant. It's unbelievable. Next, let's go to the 49ers. Okay? In the first round, pick 31, in a wide receiver draft, they went ahead and got Ricky Purcell out of Florida. If you didn't watch the Florida games, you really might not know who Ricky Purcell is, because the Gators have not had a good three seasons probably under Napier now, where they're not getting a lot of national pub. They're losing a lot of games. Ricky Purcell is the real deal. Hands, size, speed, smarts, route running, blocking. And I'm not surprised that he went in the first round. Everybody had him as a third-round pick, and I just want to know, what the hell are they watching? I don't think these guys watch the games. Ricky Purcell is a guy that can play right away. I think you're going to see him involved in the offense. And you know what's going on with their other wide receivers, with Brandon Ayuk. You have no idea if he's going to re-sign with the 49ers or they're going to trade him. But Ricky Purcell gives him a lot of flexibility. Kyle Shanahan is not a joke. He doesn't see this thing as a joke. He knows offensive talent. Ricky Purcell, remember the name, plays for the 49ers. 49ers are the NFC, according to Vegas, are going to win the NFC. So we'll see how that works out. And PFF voted him with the best roster, which I thought was interesting. In the second round, pick 64, cornerback Renardo Green out of Florida State, a guy that was linked to the Bucs. Solid zone corner, also can play man, but more zone. Terrific tackler, smart player, has great hands, can intercept the ball, played at a top program. You know, that's a terrific pick. I think he's underrated at pick 64. Third round, pick 86, tackle Dominic Pooney out of Kansas. This was a guy that was linked to a lot of teams in the second round. He fell a little bit. I think that he is a steal, because this guy is like a hockey player with a helmet on. He's powerful mauler. He beats people up. Very physical. I think he's going to move inside the guard. I think that he's going to be really difficult for people to handle. I mean, he plays like he's in a phone booth, which is really interesting. He can help a tackle in a pinch, but I think he's going to, like I said, he's going to play inside. I think in the third round, he is a steal. So remember that name. Again, building rosters, building depth. Fourth round draft pick, 124, safety Malik Mustafa out of Wake Forest. Again, another guy that's very impressive against the run, very physical, terrific run stopper. I just absolutely love him. I think in the fourth round, again, I think he went lower than I thought. Another fourth-round draft pick for the 49ers, Isaac Arundo out of Louisville. Can't tell you I watched a lot on him until he went to the combine and set a 4.33 40. And then I went back and looked at him to see if it matched, and it doesn't. I don't see the speed on film, but he does have it. And maybe with some coaching, with some proper coaching, he can realize his ability. He does have that first cut, very similar to Bucky Irving, who the Bucs drafted. He does have that first jump cut where he makes the first guy miss. But with 4.33 speed, he should be able to take it to the house. And I don't think he showed that enough at Louisville. It's very odd that he has that kind of physical talent. I don't know. Again, maybe good coaching can unleash it. Fourth round pick, 135, wide receiver Jacob Cowing out of Arizona. Absolutely love this guy. Solid route runner. Scores touchdowns. He had 9 touchdowns last year. Was second in college football. He wins off the line immediately. I just think what you're going to see with this guy is Shanahan's going to have him running routes very similar to Palmer, who the Bucs have, where he's the fastest off the line of scrimmage. Cowing is one of those guys. Absolutely gets open at the snap. So I think you're like between Purcell and Cowing. What a draft for Kyle Shanahan at wide receiver in the fourth round. I mean, just stole this guy. Guard Jarrett Kingston out of USC. I'm not picking anybody on the offensive line at USC, so we're not talking about him. I don't know. This is something where I'll leave it to the professionals, because even in the sixth round, I'm not picking the guy out of USC. In the seventh round, pick 251, linebacker Tatum Bethune out of Florida State. As you know, Deloach went to the Bucks. The Rams drafted Bethune, who's a solid coverage linebacker off the ball, obviously, had an interception. I don't know what position he's going to play for the Rams, because I don't know if he's going to play linebacker, or maybe they're going to switch him to like a strong safety. We'll see, but he's a seventh-round pick. But again, the 49ers come back, and they get Brock Purdy some help with Pearsall and Cowing, wide receivers. Then they go defense with Green. Pooney out of Kansas is a steal. Mustafa is a steal at safety. They took a chance on a running back with Grindo, who had 4.33 speed. Again, maybe some good coaching can unlock him. But the 49ers, solid draft. Not spectacular, but very solid draft. I'm very impressed with them. We're going to shoot right through the Sea Chickens. Right? For those of you who want to know why I hate the Seahawks, if you don't know the Bucks' history, the Seahawks and the Bucks came in at the same time. So they are naturally our rival, and I hate them. And the weird thing is that they had Pete Carroll, who I hate worse than the Sea Chickens. So it's kind of funny how they pair them always together, right? It's kind of like if you don't like Sean Payton, which I did not like Sean Payton, I think he's a pile of poop. And he also was the coach of the New Orleans Saints, who I also hate. So it's sometimes it's just strange how the coaches are hired by poop teams, right? It's just kind of funny how they just fit together, right? It's just, I don't know, evil and evil, right? They always find each other, right? It is what it is. But we're going to go through the Sea Chickens draft. Byron Murphy II, who was an interior defensive lineman out of Texas, I feel like was the best interior lineman in football, in college football last year for Texas. Big disruptor, can run, can stop the run, can play the can pass rush. I just think he's a disruptive guy. They really needed a guy like that. Guard Christian Haynes out of UConn in the third round, pick 81. Christian Haynes is a starter in the NFL. He's elite. He was one of my top guards in the entire draft. He's nasty. He's angry. Plays with a hockey mentality on the offensive line. Really fits what the Sea Chickens do, right? Because his attitude is basically how I feel about every Sea Chicken. They're all the same, right? They draft players very similar, but Christian Haynes is special. You know, it just, this is like when I went through the Philadelphia draft, and it's like every pick that Philadelphia has is like, oh my gosh, these are great picks, and you just want to just stop watching football because they don't deserve them. They don't deserve these guys, right? And Seattle doesn't deserve these guys, right? But Christian Haynes is, and Byron Murphy, top two, they're amazing players. They're going to start for the Seattle Sea Chickens. In the fourth round, they picked Tyrus Knight, a linebacker out of UTEP, not a fan. In the fourth round, they picked one of my absolute favorite tight end A.J. Barner. I had him going to the Bucks out of Michigan. I had him going there in my pre-draft for the Bucks. A.J. Barner is a big, strong, blocking tight end. The Bucks, if you guys haven't been paying attention in the minicamp, we don't have a blocking tight end. We drafted a wide receiver at tight end with Culp. And Cade Otton is more of a wide receiver than he is a blocker. And we'll find out about Payne, but how he is. He was obviously drafted to be a blocker, but he doesn't move very good. So we'll see how that goes. But A.J. Barner is a stud. I mean, an absolute stud tight end out of Michigan. Very physical with like an anger on the field and just run blocks, just moves people out of the way. In the fifth round, they pick cornerback Nehemiah Pritchett out of Auburn, a solid backup corner. I don't see him being a starter in the NFL. Sixth round, tackle Sereto Lemui out of Utah. This guy, don't know a ton about him. He had 1,726 snaps at right tackle over the last two seasons. He's going to be a guard in the NFL. Don't have much to say about him. He has a chance, obviously, to make the roster. So I think that happens. Cornerback DJ James out of Auburn. Here's a guy who was a former number one pick that played another season at Auburn and fell to the sixth round. Really, really strange, right? So they had their second defensive back in this draft, obviously. DJ James had one of the best covering grades in the past two seasons in all of college football. He was a top five corner coming in this. He's forced 24 incompletions. I'm going to say that the reason why he fell is things that you and I don't know. Here's a guy that had the numbers, played at Auburn, played physical. You know, obviously this last year wasn't as good as the previous year. But does he really deserve to be in the sixth round pick 192? Probably not. There's probably more to DJ James than we know. And, of course, if Seattle will take chances on people with character concerns. And I'm not saying that's what's going on with DJ James, but there's obviously something. He's a better player than 192. The Seattle Seahawks are taking a chance because their entire locker room is full of questionable people, right? Stupid Sea Chickens. In the sixth round, 207, tackle Mike Jarrell out of Finlay. I'm not going to lie to you. I know nothing about this guy. I had to look him up. I've never even heard of where he's from. He tested well with a sub 540. He had a 32.5-inch vertical, and he weighs 309 pounds. That's pretty much all I could find on the guy. So, I mean, I think they could have signed him as a free agent, but they drafted him in the sixth round. So, recapping Seattle's draft. So, Byron Murphy, great player, first round. Christian Hayes, great player, third round. Tyrese Knight, I think, is a backup off-the-ball linebacker. A.J. Barner is a stud tight end. They got in the fourth round out of Michigan. Nehemiah Pritchett out of Auburn. Solid corner, but I don't think he's going to start in the NFL. Satoa Lemua out of Utah is a guard, you know, very nasty guard. DJ James is a guy that I think is full of talent, for some reason fell to 192. And Mike Jarrell, which I really know nothing about. That really concludes the sea chicken. So if we're going through the drafts, you know, and the other part I wanted to talk about is Sam Howell is now on the Seahawks. He was traded from the team formerly known as the Redskins, and I think there's going to be a really cool quarterback controversy between Geno Smith and Sam Howell. We'll see how that goes. But if I'm going back through the NFC West, and I'm looking at, to me, who had the most impactful great draft, I've got to go back to the Arizona Cardinals with five starters. It's just phenomenal. Great job to Arizona, who's kind of a forgotten team in the NFL. But listen, if they're healthy with that coaching staff and Kyle Murray's healthy, you know, they're going to actually be in some games, and I think they're going to win some games this year, maybe eight games. And that concludes the NFC West. So please reach out to me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com with any comments and questions. And please leave reviews on Joe Bucks Fan or Apple Play for my podcast. Please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa and all the other social media sites. And I'll see you guys next time. So don't worry and drive Curry.